Good morning, James Acaster.
Good morning.
What are you like in the mornings? Are you all right in the mornings?
It depends. Depends on the morning. Depends on the night before. normally I'm okay. I think I like to sleep in a lot. This job affords that. So, I tend to stay up quite late watching Netflix or something and then wake up, about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
That's all right. Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Sometimes later.
Now, without trying to offend you before we even started, because it's probably not the best way to start an interview, I get the impression from when I've seen you on television, I'm not sure if you're the type of person who'd be keen to do interviews and press.
Okay, that's not offensive.
I look at you and think, because you're quite a laid-back guy when you see on television and stuff, your comedy's quite sort of laid-back. I get the impression you're not one of these who's like keen to do a lot of interviews.
No, that's fine. No, I think it just depends on the interview. Yeah, it just depends on how it goes and how, if someone's listening to you, really. I think that's the main thing with the interview. I think the only reason anyone doesn't enjoy interviews is because it might feel like the person's not listening to them. Sometimes, you know, you kind of get the question and then you answer it and then they go, right, whatever, and then move on. That's the only time when it feels like a chore, because you feel like you just go into doing autopilot, the same old answers you always do. But having a chat with someone, that's nice.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
The chat's good. I thought I'd start by sort of massaging your ego.
Yeah, well, see, now I love interviews. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, always massage the ego, get them on side. So, the Daily Telegraph, curious, original, immensely enjoyable stuff. The Guardian, this is stand-up of the highest, most playful order. The Evening Standard, deliciously daft and no slouch in the surprises department. You've had a lot of good reviews about your comedy.
I've had some bad ones as well. I'm not going to lie, but those are by people who don't know what they're talking about. It's been nice.
Do you know when like newspapers are at the gigs and you know this is sort of like review night and the next day reviews are going to be posted and that? Are you aware of that?
No, I find out after the gig.
Oh, and then you're like, ah.
Yeah, so I don't go out and try any harder or any less, at any gigs. So I just go out and, it's the audience who you're doing the gig for. They've paid to see you. They're the ones who deserve a good show. So go out and do every gig, do your best at every gig. And then afterwards in Edinburgh, I might phone up my management or someone and go, was anyone in tonight? Just so I know. Just so I know that I got it out of the way more than anything.
Enjoy the rest of it then.
Yeah, whoever, the Evening Telegraph, they're done. And then move on to the next one, and rather than kind of knowing that at some point they're all going to come. So it's nice to just know what you've got out of the way, really. But I never know beforehand. I think you can't go, oh, it's press night, that person's in, because they're all unpredictable people who just like they like their own individual things, and what some of them might like you one year and not like you the next year, and all this, and you can't really value their opinions too heavily. It doesn't pay to do. It doesn't bode well. If you think, that person's in and I really value their opinion, why would you? So even the ones who've written nice stuff, you have to just not take it too seriously.
Now before we talk about the Recognised tour, I wanted to bring up one thing, because it's in the news, and I think if we both gave our full opinions on this it wouldn't be appropriate for breakfast radio.
Cool.
But Sam Pepper's been in the news recently, and I was watching Virtually Famous, and he was on the episode you were a panellist on.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you sort of met him a lot by doing that, and obviously he's been in the news recently for his videos.
Yep.
I was just interested to get your opinion. You've met him. What was he like to meet?
I actually didn't meet him. He was on the show. The section of the show he was on, he came on as he was sat down on a chair, and we had to guess what he did on the internet. This was before these videos came out. And he wasn't allowed to talk either. So we had to guess what he did. And we hadn't met him beforehand. And he just walked on stage. And then they showed a video of him on the beach, kind of basically forcing girls to
he was just sort of forcing girls to get off with him, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I wasn't prepared to see that. I didn't know that we were going to see that. I got quite angry. It's the only time I've ever got angry on a show, really, and kind of told him what I thought of him. And then he walked off stage and he went straight home, so I didn't meet him afterwards.
So you didn't really get a chance to speak to him?
No, but when it was happening, I remember when I was saying all those things to him about how appalling I thought it was, he was just laughing and thinking it was really funny. And I don't know if he was putting it on and pretending that he thought it was funny that I hated him, because that's what a lot of people who kind of like get quite successful and ambitious people who have like quite business minded, which he is because he's moved to LA, he's doing YouTube videos there. They learn to kind of like anytime they get any abuse or any bad press or whatever, if you just laugh, people will assume you don't care and it's fine, and then they will. It's like people can't hurt you when you're laughing. Or he genuinely thought what I was saying was funny and that I couldn't possibly mean what I was saying and I must be joking. Either way, I don't think he's a very nice guy. So thought those videos were appalling. I think that especially nowadays with, you know, there's a lot of celebrities now who, you know, were quite loved when, you know, back in the 70s and stuff, who now people are going, why couldn't people see it? Why did, you know, why wasn't it obvious what was going on? And now with him, when they showed that video, I was like, come on, we can't laugh at this video. Like, this guy, you don't know, yeah, if he's doing this kind of stuff, if they showed, you know, showed this video in a few years' time, be like, yeah, of course. It's not normal and it's not all right. And it's just, yeah, it's that laddie kind of thing of like, oh, it's all right. It's just a lad. What a legend, kissing girls.
I'd put you in my top three lads, James.
Yeah.
I think you're top lad with Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
And I don't know, who's another lad? You got any top
two,
lads?
Then. By the sound of things, I'm top two. Yeah. If you can't think of another one. Freddie Flintoff.
Freddie Flintoff, that's true. Freddie Flintoff, yeah. Danny Dyer, and James Acaster.
Yeah.
That's going to be in Heat magazine next week as a poll.
Yeah.
The top three lads.
I've heard Danny Dyer's a lovely guy, so I would actually like to meet him. My friend Tom was in a sitcom with him once, and yeah, so he's a legend.
Yeah, you talk about a lot of comedians do sitcoms nowadays.
Mm.
I don't know if you've done much before. Would it be something you'd be interested in doing a bit more sort of telly acting rather than doing your comedy on telly?
Yeah, I'd be up for doing anything that I would watch myself, basically. I think that's the kind of rule there a lot of the time with sitcoms. But yeah, if something came along that I wanted to do, yeah, I'd love to do it. And I think that most comics would love to have their own sitcom that they were proud of as well. You know, when I sit down and watch The Office or Phoenix Nights or Peep Show or whatever, I think, I'd actually really like to do something like this. So yeah, that'd be something in the future I'd love to do.
You've got a YouTube series. I was watching some of this yesterday called Sweet Home Kettering.
Sweet Home Ketteringer.
Ketteringer, sorry.
Yeah.
What would be your top three places to go? Let's say I was visiting Kettering.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three places you'd go, you need to check these out?
Go to Whitstead Park in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go on the roller coaster and the pirate ship and stuff. All the theme park ride. Go and watch a Kettering Town FC game. Go and watch them have a kick around. And the museum. Go to the museum. And they've got a mummified cat there. You can look at that and loads of information about the shoe industry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, there's so much.
It's quite mind-blowing.
Yeah. And we've got a cinema as well, so, you know.
So you're currently touring Recognise.
Yes.
Now, already it's won Best International Show at the New Zealand Comedy Festival. There's another ego massage for you.
Thank you.
So what's the tour vaguely about?
I am revealing that I am an undercover cop, and I always have been, and that's why I do stand-ups, because I'm on a case.
Sure.
So it's a tell-all show. I finally reveal the truth.
So it's basically just confessing everything.
Yeah. Just talking about what it's like being an undercover cop doing stand-up, and what it's like to constantly be pretending to be someone you're not.
Is it quite nice now to have sort of your own talk? Because I imagine when you start out, you often support. I know you supported Milton Jones in the past, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine being the support, I've read an article where you've said before, naturally, people aren't going to that gig for you. They're going for, i.e. Milton Jones. So is it quite nice being in the position of you being the person people are actually going to see now?
Yeah, it's lovely. And now as well, they seem to know what they're coming to see a bit more. You know, this is my fourth tour now. I've made sure I've toured every Edinburgh show, no matter how small the audience. I've been touring it just to, like, you know, get experience of touring my own shows and to start building a fan base from the ground up. And in the latest tours, in the last one and in this one so far, it definitely felt like people know what to expect, whereas, like, you know, for the earlier ones, people were just, you know, going to just check out the new comic and whatever. But now it seems that a lot of the people in the room kind of, yeah, have seen me before or seen me on TV, and so they're on board with the humour, so you can really mess around with it and really explore how far you can take things. Yeah.
So you're playing the Dixon Studio, Southend, this Friday, the 3rd of October. Have you played Southend before?
Yes. On the last tour, we played it, and it was one of my favourite of the whole tour. And also, I had a preview in Southend this year for this show in June, July. And it was one of my favourite gigs of the year, I'd say. It was such a nice gig. Yeah, yeah.
Well, do you enjoy the South End crowds?
Yeah, well, I mean, I never am able to. I mean, you play all over, so you can never really differentiate too much. You know, but like, I definitely find that they're up for it, and they're. I think my favourite type of audience are an unpretentious audience who love comedy and are open to different types of comedy. So they're not like, you know, going along going, oh, I've heard this is a bit different, and then get chin strokey. And they're also not going along going, what is this? Why isn't this just straightforward observational stand-up? Yeah, I like it when it's like, they're not pretentious, but they are open-minded, and they just enjoy it. They just really get into the silliness of it as well. And I find that in Southend quite a bit, the last two times anyway.
So people need to call 0170 235 1135 if they want to get tickets for your Southend shows this Friday, the 3rd of October, at the Dixon Studio.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us, James. I enjoyed
thank
that. And yeah, best of luck for the show in Southend and the tour and anything else you do in the future.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.